build an altar, not a tower. Build an altar, not a tower. Let me start with you, Daddy. AY, are your daily by Michelle? By the way, how is Mommy Sissy?
She's fine. She's making fun of me as a.
Okay. All right. Tell her if she makes too much fun of you, she's going to come on camera. We will force her to come on camera. Yes. You know, we've been looking at altars. You know, you simplified it when you were doing the teaching over the couple of weeks back. You know, to someone out there who just stumbled on this broadcast and was wondering, what's an altar? You know, the topic again, build an altar, not a tower. So let's simplify things. What do we mean by altar?
Yes, thanks very much, Pastor. And good evening again. Good afternoon, good morning, everyone joining us on this call.
Is there any way you could give your mic some volume? I think I'm hearing Apostle Cruz louder than you are.
Okay.
Gamola, can you say something?
Hello.
Okay, I think you're a bit slightly louder than him, I hope. Okay. And our technical team behind the scene, I hope our voices are balanced. Thank you. All right. Yeah. An altar. And what's the relevance? What's the relevance to, you know, to us? What's an altar?
An altar is just a place where, as I defined about 3 weeks ago, a worshiper meets with whatever he worships. So it's just that meeting point between you, the worshiper, and what you worship. And we're able to define different things we worship or what we term as God to us. So we looked at different types of gods or different things we worship. And we're able to look at things like ourselves, look at our jobs, our careers, relationships, people, objects as things that we worship. And we're looking at what we worship as something that takes the highest priority in our lives, in our hearts, something that would take the foremost place in our hearts, meaning that if that thing comes on the scene, you're going to put aside every other thing to make sure that you cater for or you give attention to that thing. So that thing that you give that kind of priority is actually what you worship. So yeah, that's
You know, going by what you just shared, and if that thing that you give the utmost priority to now begins to control you, it becomes an object of worship. You know, it's as if that thing is more worthy than every other thing. So we forget every other thing, even God, and focus on that thing. It becomes what begins to control, determine everything we do. And you know, the relevance of this is what you have highlighted. So it could be anything, really. It could be anything from the, you know, the examples you gave. And you know, why would you say what we're studying, why is it relevant to today? What's the significance? Is there anything you can help us with? And please, those on Facebook, please make your comments. We would like to hear what you're learning or what you've learned in the past, and also ask your questions on Slido. It's right there on the screen, hashtag LOVSLIDO. Yes, sir.
The relevance is we're creatures of worship, whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, that's the way we've been designed. And if you look at your life, if I look at my life, there's always a priority. There's always something that is important that I do, that I take my time to actually observe or spend time with. So just by design, that's how we are. So since those things have the ability to control our lives or shape our lives, then it becomes very important, because you want to know what actually controls you. You want to know what your life is all about, even in your quiet moments, you always ask that question: what is important? What's my life about? What's the purpose? You know, so the reason for that questioning, the reason for those series of thinkings is because of our innate design. That's just the way we are. We've been designed. So because we are creatures of worship, we always look for an object to worship, whether we like it or not, or whether we know it or not. So that's the relevance.
Okay, Damola, you took it very personal, you know, with what you shared with us last week. You talked about the priest is, you know, building the altar, and and you were trying to, you know, kind of break it down and make it a little bit personal, relevant to individuals. That's what I took out of what you shared last week. And, you know, from what AY just, you know, shared with us, you know, as a priest, okay, we're still talking of altars generally. And if you're just joining again, the topic tonight, build an altar, not a tower. Okay, so we're focusing on the first part, the altar. So how do we build altars? And, you know, what sort of altars, you know, if I may ask, put it that way, how do we build altars? Are we having a guest again today? I noticed last week we had Demi, you know, photo bomb, or is it video bomb, the service. She's welcome. Maybe she wants to tell us how to build altars. Okay, sir, go on.
How we build altars in this period and the relevant bits to us. Psalm 51, verse 17, where David was talking about the fact that what God really seeks from us is a contrite heart, is a heart that is set to him. Physically, now what we are doing is a heart that is totally focused on God. And when we're looking at the issue of the heart, we talked about the divided heart. We talked about different kinds of heart. Now, what we are doing in this season as priests unto God is to put aside those things that are not of God. If you look at what was said in the New Testament, it said that there are some things that you put away or you put aside. And then he talked about putting on Christ, putting on the whole armor and telling us what to do really. So in terms of building, right?
Yeah.
What we are doing as priests in this season is to set our hearts right. We're learning when we're talking about the heart. It says it's about predetermining ahead of time who you want to serve. Predetermining, zone your mind to something. So when we're talking about where the worshiper meets what is worshiping, sometimes unconsciously we do some other things. But when we set our hearts, Pastor teaches that if you want to set out on a journey, you set the destination at the beginning. You set the destination at the beginning. And if you want to build an altar unto God, you have to set that destination at the beginning. What am I building an altar to? Or who am I building an altar to? Am I building an altar to self? Or am I building it to God?
Okay. It seems like we have some guests in the room there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Anyone joining us, we are all in our in our houses, from our house to your house, you know. So who's just joined the party?
It's Dave Ladison.
Come on, David, come and say hello to everybody. Bring her on if you don't mind. Does he want to join the altar building service today? Anyway, thank you for that. We set our hearts to what we want to worship. And as we give attention, as it begins to be our center, our focus, that's a form of worship, of worship. And if we allow such things to begin to control us, that's what we think about when we wake up, when we go out. It's going to determine our destination, you know, as we move daily. So thank you for that. People are already putting on comments. Any comments on Facebook, please. We'd like to know what you've been learning. Thank you, Grandma Moji Adekombi. I can see you online. You know, we would like to know if you have been on this journey with us, because this is the last Bible study on this topic, My Heart, My Altar. You know, tying that together, we realized that the real altar, that place where we worship, is actually our hearts. You know, that's where things, thoughts come into our hearts, things, you know, all sorts of things just come in there. So, so please, you've been on this journey with us, you've been journeying this topic. We'd like to know what you're learning. Put the comments there if you've been with us right from the start of the month. And if you are just joining today also, please feel free. Again, you see, you can ask questions anonymously on the Slido app. If you Google and just put hashtag Love Slido, it's right there on the screen. You know, maybe if you're watching on the left side of your screen, just next to Damola, that's the hashtag you put in, and you can ask your question. So, all right, are we having anything yet? Okay, we're seeing some comments already on Slido. Thank you for those who are there and those who are putting comments on Facebook. All right, so do you want to read to us what Grandma Moji is a comment? Daddy Ay, can you? I think she said something there on Facebook. Are you there?
Yes,
or maybe
I am.
It can be, yeah, if it can be displayed. Thank you, Grandma Moji, for that.
Yeah, yeah, she says, thank thee, Lord. I'm reading from my device, so if you see me looking down, that's what I'm doing. Thank thee, Lord, for our altar shall always be from our hearts built unto you to worship you and you only in spirit and in truth with complete submission to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you for that comment. And if we move on to Slido, the topic again tonight, build an altar, not a tower. We will move on to the tower shortly, but please share with us what you've been learning or questions. Just participate. You see, we're all relaxed in our homes and we're broadcasting from different locations where we are. And if you are also joining us live and you are outside the city of Liverpool or outside the United Kingdom, please just say hello. We would like to acknowledge you. Just put in your comments there, okay? So on Slido, have you spotted anything?
Yeah, okay. We've got some comments. The first one is, it is so easy to have an altar that is not of God. And I always have to check myself, and better still, let God check me.
Wow, thank you very much for that comment.
And we have
so easy. Yeah, can we still display that before we move away from that?
Yes.
You say it's so easy to have an altar that is not of God. And this person say, I always have to check myself, and better still let God check me. How can one build an altar that is not of God? Let me throw that to you, Daddy Ewa, because I remember you sharing with us 12 stones. Using the story in 1 Kings 18, how Elijah was now in a battle between the prophets of an idol called Baal, and he was a prophet of God. 450 prophets against one prophet of God. The 450 were worshiping idols, and Elijah was the one who was worshiping God, and he built an altar. He used 12 stones. So, how easy is it to build an altar that is not of God? I don't know if you want to highlight that thought.
It is quite easy to build an altar, generally, but not of God. The reason is because of our nature. From the book of Genesis, the first man, the first woman fell. And what happened is they introduced something into us that draws us, that makes us naturally draw away from God. But because we have been built to worship, we tend to worship other things apart from God. So if that had not happened, then it would have been easy to worship just God. But because of that nature, you know, lots of things have come into us. Someone put in the comment section that there are so many things that are alluring. So many things that draw attention. Like children, when you see colors, you see some things, and you're walking a child on the streets, you know, the child is like, mommy, 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 I want this. Daddy, 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 I want this. So in many ways in life, we're like that as well. You know, we want this stuff, we want this tower, we want this nice thing, we want, you know, we've got issues that we're worrying about. And what happens is the first thing that takes us in the morning now becomes an altar. You know, you're thinking about the issues you've had maybe for the past few weeks, or something nice that you saw and your heart is drawn to it. Maybe you saw a friend that just got a promotion, for example, at work, or you have a colleague that just bought a new car, and you look at your car, and your car has been giving you issues for weeks, and all of a sudden you just want that person's car, and before you know it, that car now fills all your space. You just want the car, and you're thinking about it in the morning, in the afternoon, at night, you're having dreams about it, and all of a sudden an altar has been built. So it's just our nature that we're drawn to things and makes us to build altars out of those things. So if we are drawn to God, then it will also help us to build an altar to God. So that's how easy it is to build an altar. So it's just where your heart is drawn to. And as Pastor Cruz was saying, if you don't set your heart in a particular direction, your heart tends to drift. And of course, altars are built like that.
And the direction we must intentionally set our hearts to,
yes, sir,
is God. God must fill our thoughts, His word. You know, the 12 stones, some of, you know, just bring into remembrance, you know, the 12 stones. You talked about the stone, the word of God.
Worship.
You talked about worship. That's real, yeah, true faith. Worship. Yeah.
Faith. The anointing of God. Creativity, the unconventional, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, offerings, and the teachings of Jesus as well. So those are some elements that we mentioned as building blocks for our altar unto God.
Yeah. By the time we look at all these 12 things, it just brings us back to the word of God. Because we have to worship according to the way God says we should worship Him. You know, so thank you for that. There's a comment, and I think maybe it's continuous. It says, alluring things just like movies controls you. That's on Slido Doe. Says, these things controls you when it becomes a habit. So habit definitely controls you. So we can build an altar to a habit. And somebody is admiring our Demi. I like that. The person, I love the little girl's voice I'm hearing at the background. Yeah. Thank you for loving that voice. But if that voice, you keep hearing it and keep hearing it, you build an altar to it just like we've learned tonight. So love the voice. Appreciate the voice. Thank you for that comment. Thank you. I'm sure Demi and Demi's dad and Demi's mom will thank you for that, for loving the voice of the girl. Somebody says here, Slido Do, do you want to read that? Someone talking about a boxer, Apostle Cruz.
Okay.
If I become a boxer.
This was asked by a child. If I become a boxer, can I use my salary to pay tithe? And can my boxing become an altar?
Very, very good question. If I become a boxer, can I use my salary to pay tithe? And can my boxing become my altar? Okay, let's look at that word boxer itself. So boxing is a sport. And we have all sorts of sports out there. There are contact sports, there are non-contact sports. You know, we may have different divide where we belong to in terms of the different kinds of sports. You know, there are some sports that honestly are very dangerous. Every sport has got its risk. But, you know, that one of boxing I'm telling you that that's dangerous, you know, because you can break somebody's jaw, break somebody's teeth, you know, literally, you know, blind somebody with a blow, you know. And then he says, can I use my salary to pay tithe? Okay. What I will say there is boxing now becomes like a profession. You know, I've had boxing described as the sweet science, the sweet science of boxing, because the sporting side of it is not really about, you know, really punching and inflicting damage. It's you hitting and avoiding being hit. You are hitting to score points. But of course, you have some very mean people. They will hit to kill you, you know, knock you out. But the science behind the sport, that's what it is. So if that becomes a profession, you draw income from it. Yeah, you honor the Lord with a tithe. A tithe, for anybody who doesn't know, is, you know, your decision, willing decision to always give 10% of your income, you know, unto the Lord, to the kingdom, for a righteous cause. And it says, can my boxing become my altar? Okay. Who wants to go with that? Let me ask you, Apostle Cruz. You say, can my boxing become my altar?
Like we said before, our job, our profession, whatever we do and we've put our hearts to, can become an altar. And what we are really talking about is anything that takes your focus off from God. Sometimes we get so busy trying to achieve a goal. All we do is we plan God out of the whole system. And one of the things that was very interesting in Ezra chapter 4, which I was reading this evening before the service, was he talked about those who were the enemies of God. When they were about to build an altar to God and to rebuild the altar and the temple, they came to act like as if they wanted to help them to build. But the people had their ears and eyes turned on and they said no. And sometimes the people that are helping you, maybe along the profession, those that seem to want to encourage you to focus on your job, to focus on your profession, sometimes they are not friends of God. They are enemies of God. And they are like distractions that can take you away from what God wants you to do at the time. So yes, boxing, like any other profession, can become an altar unto self and not an altar unto God.
You know, from what you were saying, I just a ready example. You know, you've seen people who have built altars onto their career. They will sacrifice anything for their career, sacrifice their children, sacrifice their home, sacrifice their marriage, just because of their career. They don't care. They don't put things in order, like you shared with us last week about the priest. You put the wood in order. As you know, God wants us to put things in order, in their right order. Your career must not come before God. God first, before any other thing. You wanted to say something, sir?
Yes, sir. What is quite interesting from what Onkwayo and you have been teaching us for a while is the fact that we are all priests, whether we agree or not. It is what we are sacrificing and what altar we are building that makes a difference. Like you just said, some are sacrificing their own children and their own destiny. Some are sacrificing their marriages. Some are sacrificing different things for self. And like what the title is today, are you building an altar to God? Are you building a tower to self? We need to be very careful, because if you are not actively sacrificing to God, actively building an altar to God, you are actively building an altar to something else. And the sacrifices that you are putting on it are not acceptable sacrifices. It could be your children. It could be your own health that you're sacrificing, cutting short your own life over the years. And in the future, when the outcome of what we are sacrificing comes back, oftentimes we don't know that it's because of what we've been consistently sacrificing over the years.
I mean, like I know, talking from a pastoral point of view, I've seen that over and over. You will see God planted you in this city. God planted your family in this city. But, oh, an opportunity has just come up in another city. Oh, this is one thing I must not. An opportunity once lost. You know, we are not saying career doesn't matter. But listen, you gain the whole world, Jesus said, and you lose your soul in the process. And if these things come over time, you don't think about any other thing is that career. And then you uproot yourself from where God is nourishing you, where your children are having access to, you know, godly teaching, godly, you know, Sunday school like we organize for children, and you just don't care. And then you now get to another complete strange city, and then before you know, you lose your children, and even the career you ran for, you can be successful, but you've lost your family, you've lost your home, you've lost your marriage. So those are the kind of things. Can boxing become my altar? Yes, child, it can, if you let it take the place of God, you know, in your life. Let's move on. There are some very interesting comments.
Just a quick one about the altar, because it can be an altar, but the question is an altar unto whom and an altar unto what as well, because it could be an altar unto self, as Pastor Chris said, but it can also be an altar unto God, because Jesus said, whatever you do, whether it's your eating, your drinking, your working, do all to the glory of God. So if you do everything to the glory of God, then it becomes an altar unto God. So I just wanted to add that.
Thank you for clarifying that. And when, you know, our scriptural guide is actually Genesis 8:20, the Bible says, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord. Okay? So the comments, that's it. Then Noah built an altar unto the Lord. All right. Thank you. Comments from Adeyinka Kizo. My altar should not be forgotten. Said no matter the circumstance, good or bad, pleasant or unpleasant. Before then, she said, my altar will be built from the moment I wake up. God must always come first. Thank you for that. Burial says an altar is a place of slaughter, a place where something dies or must die. Meaning of the word new is something you have never experienced before, something fresh, unusual, fresh. Thank you for sharing what you've been learning with us. And Adeyinka again says, I will always pray, give praise, give thanks to God on my altar. Thank you very much. We'll be moving to the tower shortly. Our topic again tonight, build an altar, not a tower. And I think the clarification, thank you, Damola, build an altar unto God, not a tower unto self. So please, that's the topic. Let's clarify it. Let's make it very, very clear and specific. Let's narrow it down. Build an altar unto God, because you can also always build an altar unto anything. So, build a tower, build an altar unto God and a tower unto self. So we'll see that. Okay, let's quickly, you know, because people are commenting, and thank you so much for your participation on Slido, hashtag love. LOVSLIDO, and the comments, keep them coming, what you're learning, and also where you're watching from and participating from. That would be awesome, especially if you're from outside Liverpool. Okay, someone said here, Jesus always worships early in the morning. What is the best biblical time to have a quiet time? Sometimes I find it difficult to wake up early. Let me address that quickly. Listen, the person, you've said something very key. Jesus always worships early in the morning, but you don't wake up early in the morning. How about number one, okay? Whenever you wake up, let God be first. Let's start from where you are. Right? You are not Jesus, okay? You don't wake up very early. But whenever you wake up is early, okay? It's the time to worship. Unless you have turned sleep into an altar. You know, some people sleep too much, and by the time they wake up, they are late for work. So they can't do anything. So sleep is not, Sorry?
They offer their Bible study time.
I don't get that. Say that.
No, they give up their Bible study time on the altar.
On the altar of sleep?
Yes.
Okay. So why don't you, whenever you wake up, God first. Start from there. And then build it slowly. Lord, help me to wake up early. You know, I think it's down to maybe many years, and I look at my life, you know, I know, sincerely speaking, when God wants to speak to me. At times I wake up myself, at times I wake up and I find that I can't sleep, and I just sense God wants to fellowship with me. The Spirit of God wants to fellowship with me. And at such times I just lay awake and I pray, I meditate, I think, I look at the time. Oh, this is too early. I want to go back to sleep. I want to go back to sleep. But being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, at such times I realize, God wants to communicate with you when it's quiet. You know, when we say quiet time, we can be too religious about some of these times, you know. Right? We can just become very, you know, a quiet time can even be a noisy time. Where, you know, you are just communing in your heart with God and things are happening around you wherever you are. You know, you can be in a noisy place and you are communing in your heart, because that's the altar we're talking about. So what is the best biblical time to have a quiet time? I will tell you, the Bible says, I will that men will pray anywhere, everywhere, lifting up holy hands. When is the best time? Whenever it is now. Yes, Adewa, you want to add to that or say something?
No, just lifting up holy hands.
Oh, you are just lifting. Okay. Best biblical time. But if you want to be like Jesus, wake up early. Pray, God, help me, Holy Spirit. I have practiced it, sincerely speaking. I've practiced it. I would say, Lord, Holy Spirit, please wake me up at this time. And I'm telling you, you try it. Whoever that put that comment there, Holy Spirit, please wake me up at so-so time. And I'm telling you, you might wake up and you'll be drowsy and be wondering, and you want to struggle back to sleep, but you are the one who has the Holy Spirit to wake you up. And if you are not serious, the Spirit of God does not strive with man. He will wake you up and then you go back to sleep. He will wake you up tomorrow again, you go back to sleep. He will leave you alone. You know, so you've got to be serious with that. Okay, let's see another comment quickly.
Just a quick one. Also, I think just to also help, because worship, as Jesus defined in John chapter 4, verse 24, when he was talking to the woman at the well, he said, they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And I think that's the key thing, because we only think about worshiping in the morning, when what is required is worshiping at all times, because your altar should be every moment, whether you're sleeping, whether you're waking, you're actually worshiping in God, worshiping God. And also, some people, their day actually starts at night. So if, say, for example, you work at night and you sleep in the day, so that means your day has, in quotes, shifted. So your early morning is actually when you wake up. So if you wake up early, as Pastor said, the first thing you do is you worship.
Yeah. That's right. Let God be first. Whatever time you wake up, let God be first. Okay? Comments. I have to offer my life daily to God so that His mercy upon my life is new every day. Altars are built at a specific place and for a specific reason. So let's remember that specific place is our hearts. Our hearts. And everywhere you go, your heart goes with you. And you don't let your heart wander. You know, thank you for that comment. What I do at the altar matters. Else, what is meant to be an altar would just be a mere tower. Okay, we're going to go into tower shortly. But, you know, people are really participating. Thank you. So let's give priority to that. Altars are built willingly. And it's built daily. Very key. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. It says that we offer our bodies a living sacrifice. This is something we do not once, a living for every living day. So thank you. It's built willingly. It's built daily. God will never force me to offer myself to him. Very key. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you very much. Altar is a place where we die to self. Very, very apt. Thank you for that comment. And something must always die when I build the altar. When I wake up, God must be the first person I offer to myself before anything else. Okay. And then examine me carefully, God, so you can be sure of my true feelings. Check me out so you can know what I really think. That sounds like the prayer from the book of Psalms. I think Psalms 136. Search me, try me, O God. Very sincere heart cry. And please show me if I'm following any kind of idol and lead me along the path of eternal life. Yeah, free Bible version. I like that. Okay? We got it for free, but someone paid with his life. So technically, salvation is not free. It cost Jesus his life, his blood. All right. The significance of altars and the significance and how, because we said the topic again, build an altar, not a tower. So build an altar unto God. If the media team can help us adjust that, if it's possible, build an altar unto God, not a tower unto self. That would be the topic. Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit, for expanding these things to us. So, an altar, we've seen we build it unto God. So, what's the difference between the altar and the tower? Now, we are going into the month of August. Join us again next week because we're going to be examining closely, avoid distractions. How we avoid distractions and the things that can distract us. Because we've seen now we can build an altar unto anything, rather than build an altar to God. And those things that distract us from building altars to God, we'll look at it in depth. So, but now, one of the strong things we see is altars. Why were altars built in the Bible? The first altar we really see, is written as an altar, is when Noah in Genesis 8 built an altar to God. And we saw him there, Genesis 8:20, he offered everything that, you know, when I say everything, he offered, he took out of, took off every clean animal and not every clean bird and offered burnt offerings. He gave them totally to God. He was stepping out into an earth that, you know, was relatively new. It wasn't the earth before the flood. It was a new earth he was stepping into. And he had an encounter with God at that point. So we see the purpose of that altar was him to make that sacrifice, to have that encounter, to meet with God, like A.Y. defined for us. The place where the worshiper meets with what is worshiping. In this case, Noah met with God and he offered sacrifices. In our day, we don't offer animals anymore. We don't offer bulls. We don't offer goats. We don't offer birds. Jesus has been that eternal sacrifice, but then we offer ourselves. You know, Damola, you give us that scripture again, Psalm 51. The Bible says that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. This, oh God, you will not despise. If you read it in context, he was talking that God, you wouldn't accept bulls. You wouldn't accept, you know, that sort, but my heart. So the altar unto God is what we must build. Otherwise, we're going to be building an altar to something else. But now, what is a tower? So we look at that Genesis chapter 8. Noah built an altar. And generations and hundreds of years after they began to be fruitful, replenish, populate the earth again. From that Genesis chapter 8 till Genesis chapter 11, nobody builds an altar again. Nobody. We don't read of Noah himself, none of his children, or his children's children. Everybody just went about their business of, yeah, we're fruitful, we're multiplying, we're replenishing the earth. Even though God even made a covenant with them But we don't read of anybody building an altar. And this is hundreds and hundreds of years. And then we get to Genesis chapter 11. What happens? If we look at Genesis chapter 11 verse 1, so that we explain what the tower means as we, you know, and we wrap up anything as we look at any more comments. So we're looking at towers now, okay? So let us see an application of what that tower could be. In verse 1, Genesis 11, it says the whole earth now had one language and one speech. This is the earth post the flood, post the pandemic. We liken that to what the parallel to it is what's been happening in our world today. There was a complete shutdown, debts, and people were shut. We were all shut in at a point. You can't go out, nothing. You know, aeroplanes didn't fly. Everything was grounded. We were told not to even step out of our front doors. You know, it was that bad. And people were dying all over the world. Global pandemic. But then the pandemic is lifting now, though it's still there. But then the world is opening. So we are lightening the parallel. Then, just as it is now, like the days of Noah, Jesus said, that's the sign of the coming of man, of the Son of Man, the return of Jesus. We're in the last days, people. We're in the last days. So let's see what happened then. After they came out of that ark, built an altar at Noah, nobody, it's as if everybody forgets God. You know, you go out now before, wear a mask, do this, social distancing, 2 meters, this, boom. Nobody's really, you know, listening to anybody anymore, except those who have formed the habits of wearing masks and habits of, cleanliness, let's do social, let's not move too close, blah, 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 blah. But then, if we are not careful, we'll all go about our normal business as usual and forget God. When we were locked in, fear everywhere, people were crying to God. People were seeking God. 1 year, 2 months, you know, before things began to open, people were seeking God. Now, we're out. Let's live life now. Let's enjoy life. Let's try and catch up, you know, like some young people were saying, freedom at last. Wow, we're going to party. All the 1 year of partying we missed, you know, 1 year of boozing we missed. You know, let's talk. Everywhere is open now. Just like the days of Noah, people, we must be careful that we don't forget God. They forgot God. The only thing, Genesis 11, 1, the whole earth was one language, one speech. Verse 2, it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a place, plain in the land of Shinar. And guess what they did there? They dwelt there. You know what I see here, Apostle Cruz and Daddy Ewa? Technology. They dwelt there. Look at technology. Verse 3. What happened? Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks. Bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone. They had asphalt for mortar. This was a technological breakthrough. And what were they going to do? Look at it now, verse 4. They said, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Do you know what happens and what has happened in the world today suddenly? Have you seen some technological breakthrough? Look at us now. We would ideally on a Thursday be in a building, you know, and having fellowship. But technology, it was over the pandemic. Everybody started realizing, hey, I can talk to someone far east, in America, in the North Pole, just on my screen, on my tablet, on my device. Technological breakthrough, advancement. That's the parallel we see there. The tower they were going to build there, prior to this pre-flood, there was nothing like a tower being built. Nothing. But there's technological advancement. You know, if you recall, for those who were at the retreat with us last year, December, the first day, there was something that my good friend Chapeau, Pastor Chapeau of the Iranian Church, and if you're watching Pastor Chapeau, God bless you real good. He said, God loves technology, but God is not technology. We can, through technology, forget God. Technological advancement, breakthroughs we're having today. They discovered bricks, they discovered mortar, and discovered they could build the tower. And they said the top will get to the heavens. Where did they get that technology from? Advancement. So you see, the world we live in now, is you can work from home. You can achieve so many things from home. The other day, you know, I will have gone into the bank because I had some problems trying to solve some issues on my bank. And said, no. I just saw it there. NatWest said, okay, I'm giving NatWest a free advert now. They said, you know, you can actually talk to one of our advisors via video. And truly, they said, just register here. And they told me who will talk to me. They said, wait, he knows you are waiting. The next thing he comes on, the guy was right there in his house. I was in my house, and the guy was solving my banking problems. What I would have gone inside the bank to do, pre-flood, pre-COVID-19. So we are seeing an advancement in technology. If we are not careful, we forget God, just like we see here. Hundreds of years after the first altar, nobody builds an altar. The next thing everybody's talking about, let's build the tower. There was unity, some pseudo kind of unity to advance technology, to advance man, to preserve a name, to build a city. I mean, think about it, people. I was in an online conference. Somebody was doing it from America. They were talking about, you know, digital marketing, digital this, digital that. How you create a business and you can literally be anywhere and you are doing your business. Say all you need is a laptop and internet. And the guy broke everything down. And he said, look, I've built a multi-million dollar business just doing this. And on my computer, I operate my business. Technological advancement. Where we just realize, you know what? We don't need God. We don't. Did they need God to build that tower? No. Look at it. Let's read on. Genesis 11. The Bible said in that verse 4, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. You know? And what was the next thing? Verse 5. God himself, the Bible says, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men built. And the Lord said, hear God's testimony. Parallel today. Indeed, the people are one. They have one language. Are we not speaking the language of technology now? The digital language. You know, I don't need to understand Chinese to communicate now with someone in China. Google will do that for me. Google Translator. I will literally be chatting with someone and the person will be reading what I'm typing in their own language. Technology. We have one language now, the digital language. He says, and God says, they have all one language. This they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. You know, Noah and I were having a chat. Noah is our first son. And we're talking about two rich men. I'm not going to mention their names. Go and Google. He said, these guys have made so much money that they don't know what to do with money. They decide, you know, I want to go to space. And they you know, one of them shut down. I don't know if that's what he did. His real company, and builds what's it called? Noah, please tell me. What if he builds a what? A rocket. They want to go to space. The other one, to Richmond, another part of the world, say, you know what? You went to space. I will go there with my family. He goes there with his father and his son. Just they have money, technological breakthrough. They can go to space to go and see where God is. Okay? That's a form of a tower. So I was asking Noah, I was having this conversation, what is in space? Is there an amusement park or something there that they went to see? No, they just want to see that place. And they have the money and the technology, and man is tripping to space now. I said, they don't even care. And now one of them, I understand now, that you know, set a record that the youngest person to ever be in space is his son. Is it his son, Noah? Or who? Set a record because he has the money. They are visiting space now. Tower. But, excuse me, these two men, I am not sure if God is in their agenda. They got the money. This is the world we live in, people. Why we're studying these things. Are you building an altar unto God or a tower unto self? With the technological breakthrough and everything now, please, let's use it to the glory of God. The scripture you gave us before, Daddy Ewa, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, if I'm correct. Whatsoever we eat, drink, whatever we do, let's do it to the glory of God. An altar unto God or a tower unto self? You can build any business now from scratch with the power of technology. But who takes the glory? Let me pause there. I don't know if we have any comments or that we have anything on the comments on the either the Facebook or Slido though. Please, you're joining us. The title, question and answer, participate, contribute. We'll be rounding up in a few minutes. By quarter past, we should be done tonight if we don't have more questions coming. We're looking at build an altar unto God, not a tower unto self. That tower was about man, not God. The altar Noah built is about God. Okay, yes. Any comments or...
Just from the verse that you read, Pastor, in Genesis chapter 11, one thing caught my attention, and it's one of the things that we also do. One of the motive for building that tower was for self-preservation. They said, lest we be scattered.
That's right.
And a lot of times we do things for, we make excuses for self-preservation now. We think it's, and it's because of my children, or maybe it's so that I can save for the future, or so that I can, or so that I won't suffer like something happened. And we make that kind of excuse for self-preservation. And it's still us building a tower, still doing exactly what the people did with the Tower of Babel. And it's something that caught my attention. And I was just asking myself, what is that excuse that I'm making now that is becoming like a tower that I'm building? What's the excuse? What was that self-preservation that I'm trying to attain? Is it just to save some more money? Is that why I'm sacrificing time, marriage, everything on an altar? What am I doing for self-preservation that is becoming a tower?
And you know the dangerous thing, sir. We will do all these things and build all these towers. And if we're not careful, we'll lose our souls in the process. And what happens after this? The Bible says the judgment. Daddy Ewai, any comments on from your end or from Facebook? Let's check on Facebook and let's check Slido, please. We're looking at the altars now. I mean towers. Slido do love hashtag LOVSLID. If you want to comment, if you just join this broadcast, please you can backtrack after we end the broadcast and. We are discussing some very serious issues now, parallel to the time we live in. Are we building altars to God? Or we've shifted now that lockdown, everything's over, life is beginning, and we are focus now is on building towers for self-preservation. Daddy, why?
Yes, I'll just say something I said on Sunday, that that tower that was built in Babel was the first high-rise idol that the Bible records that was built, because they said, let us build to ourselves. And if you see that statement in many parts of the Bible, you see different people, let's build this calf to ourselves, let us build this to ourselves, let us build this to ourselves. And there's that thread in the whole scriptures about things being built onto ourselves. So that tower, even Nebuchadnezzar built a golden idol, very tall, you know, to himself, and he said everyone should bow down and worship. So that trend is there. Once self comes in, then God has already been pushed out. So just something for us to note. So I'll read from Facebook comment from Grandma. She said, men's knowledge is increasing. We are indeed in the last days. May the good Lord help us to be steadfast in our services to him. And may we all, by his grace, make heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
On Slido, we've got two comments. The first one is, altars are built unto God. Altars are built unto God, but towers are built unto self. The main aim of building an altar is to worship. It's to worship. And then the second one says, our hearts is the altar that we give or prepare for the Lord. Our focus is what we are worshiping. If I don't know my focus, I won't know what I'm worshiping.
Thank you for those comments. And you know, like we're looking at these parallels, these parallel truths, I'm telling you, when my eyes and understanding began to be open to these themes, I just said, wow. You know, I woke up and it was like, was fellowshipping where, you know, after I just woke up and God was just showing me the parallel. One thing we must be careful of, the world is going back to normal or new normal or whatever it's called. We must be careful that we are not pursuing towers. We must always remember to build altars to God daily, because they forgot completely and nothing happened for many years until Abraham showed up, or rather God and Abraham had an encounter in the next chapter. If you calculate the number of years, you will see that the whole earth again went back and it even was worse. Look at the world we live in today. Worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. The things, the evil, but as children of God, let us not forget our altar to God. That should be our focus at this time. You know? And it's our decision. Let's not forget that. We are the ones who have to decide. Are we making a name for ourselves or a name to the glory of God? You know, there are just so many things loaded between Genesis chapter 8 and Genesis chapter 11. And by the grace of God, that will be our focus when we enter the 8th month of the year, starting from this Sunday. Avoid distractions. Yes, final word from you, Daddy. Okay, let's start with you, Apostle Cruz.
It's just the fact that all through the New Testament, there was a lot of emphasis on us putting aside the things of the flesh, which is the things of self. But one particular verse that Brassam, when we're praying midday, I think it was on Tuesday, was Romans 13:14. And it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to his lust. I believe that sums up what we should do daily. Daily put on Christ and make no provision for the flesh in its lusts.
Thank you very much, Dadewa. I think there are some comments, additional comments.
I just wanted to read the comment. A tower from Prof. Jojo. The tower is often a pseudo satisfaction, but leaves the builder of the tower empty. Leaves the builder of the tower empty. Then Mommy Yinka says, our heart, hope, and ambition should be given to God. An altar is built unto God, but towers are built unto self. And then I think there was one more comment from Uncle Gifts, UD Brandy, says, the altars of self, or towers in quotes, are usually loud and visible.
Wow.
The altars to God most times are quiet and invisible.
Thank you for those wonderful comments, everyone watching, participating. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time of, I would say, awakening for us, you know, both young, old, as restrictions are being lifted, and we are literally restarting, or for us, we have warned ourselves, we must not restart, we must reset. And that is going back to God, is back to our source. God must be our focus. Don't get carried away with technology. Yeah, you want to build business, you want to build a career, a lot of technological breakthroughs now. You know, one of the things I was even listening, watching a presentation was very soon, I mean, people who are kind of so rich now, they are more or less self-taught. You just go on the internet now, discover something, build it, that universities might even become extinct very soon. But people will discover all sorts of technology and will be sharing things on the digital space. That's that language, one language the whole world understands now. But let's not be carried away, that we join in that bandwagon of building towers to self, building cities to preserve our own name and fame. Because what happens is God will scatter these things. It's a matter of time, because that's what happened. God said that when we look at it to round up, the people are one, Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. They all have one language. This is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. The King James Version says nothing that they imagined to do. Nothing. You just have to think it, imagine it, it happens. Do you know that's what's happening today? Someone just sits down and thinks something and they go and create it. And what did God say? He says, come, let us go down there, confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them from abroad, from there over the face of all the earth, they ceased building the city. Therefore, it's called Babel. Babel means confusion, people. There the Lord confused the language of all the earth. From there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. It was even counter to God's instruction to fill, to populate the earth. They wanted to stay in one place and self-preserve. I pray God will help us all over the place. Let's just pray. Am I building an altar to God, or have I forgotten the altars? Or am I building a tower to self? Lord, help me. And Lord, we just commit our lives. We commit our future. What does it profit a man? He builds the whole world against the whole world and loses his own soul. That's what you said, Lord Jesus. I pray for every one of us on this call, on this live broadcast. I pray, Lord God Almighty, that we will not violate your principle. I pray, Lord God Almighty, that our focus will not be on towers, on self, but always you. You are the author of life. You are never the author of confusion. So, Lord God, help us place our priorities. God first. We seek you first, your kingdom before any other thing. And I pray, Lord, for someone who just stumbled on this and may not know you. Holy Spirit, introduce Jesus to them. I pray upon their hearts and their minds. I pray you will interpret, you will give life. You will take away every heart stony and put in a heart of flesh and pour your Spirit upon all of us. And Lord, I pray for my brothers, Ayo and Damola. We have ministered, you've used us, you've spoken to us and through us. May we not be cast away. May we not preach to others and forget to do what you've told us.
Amen.
And Father, build your church. Build your church. You told us on Sunday, Bethel, the house of God, is not what we should worship. It's the God of the house, El Bethel, that should be our object of worship. May we not worship self. May we not worship buildings. May we not worship possessions. May we not worship anything you've given us, including our children, our spouses, our career. Lord God Almighty, may you be the only object of our worship, indeed, in spirit and in truth. Thank you once again tonight. We commit our lives as we are rounding up the seventh month and going into the eighth. May it be a new beginning. Eight, a new beginning. We come from the place of rest. The seventh day you rested. Lord, from the place of rest, like we learned last week, the priest comes from the place of rest to minister unto you. We've entered into your rest. May we remain there, offering daily our lives as a living sacrifice. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.